The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on earthly things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. May God bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Well, here we have Peter again. Peter, just last week, five verses ago, had made this incredible declaration that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter went from being employee of the month to security escort this man to the front door, please, in five verses. Because here we have Peter not understanding the plan of God. I think there's a lot of applications that we can make from this. One, I think we can see that Peter, like ourselves sometime, or at least Michael, I can understand who God is. That doesn't always mean I accept his plan. And if you're like me, sometimes I know well who he is. I'm in love with God. I love Jesus. But boy, that plan, that's not what I wanted to happen. His ways are not always my ways and my way. And so I think we have some beautiful lessons that we see from Peter here. Before we pick on Peter too much, I do want us to see that I would hope that all of us, in some way, if we didn't understand things, would have come to the defense of Jesus. And that's what Peter's doing. He certainly is devoted, but he doesn't understand everything. We have the luxury of hindsight, right? We have the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. We know what's going to happen. Peter is trying to understand this, and Jesus sits down with them and carefully explains that he has to die and that he will rise again. Peter doesn't even know the form of death until Jesus later says it in this passage where he says, take up your cross. I'm sure that would have come to their minds when the actual time for Jesus to die occurred. But Peter is wrestling with all of this. And he's trying to understand what Jesus is saying. And part of the problem is, even though he knows he's the Messiah, as I mentioned, that plan is difficult to deal with. It's kind of like if you have to have surgery. You trust in your doctor and your surgeon, but just the day before, you watch a YouTube video on the surgery. And you're there before the anesthesia, and you decide to give the doctor a few tips. understands who Jesus is but wants to meddle in the plan. So let's try to have an understanding of what this plan involves. And the central key to this plan, as we see Jesus say, take up your cross, is this idea of the cross. And so that's what I kind of like to focus on today, in four aspects of understanding the cross just a little bit better. After all, we have a cross right here in the center of our church, right? We cross ourselves. It's so central and key to our faith. So the cross is, first of all, a symbol of God's divine plan. If I were to write the story of what Jesus would do and how he would die, it certainly would not involve the death on the cross. But from before time, in the mind of God, somehow that was all a part of the plan. And this idea of Jesus' divine plan was what Peter needed to focus on understanding. And perhaps that is the call here for us to look at the bigger plan that God has, both in our lives, maybe in our church, maybe in our family, to see that divine plan. And the idea is to follow God no matter what the plan is. Now, we're pretty good at making plans ourselves, right? I have a spreadsheet for all of the vacations that my wife and I will be taking for the next 20 years. And I like to plan. And you've all heard this story, you know, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. God wants to make us cry, he'll tell us his plan, right? That could be another way to say that, right? But he does have a divine plan, and I promise you that plan is always the best for you and me. And that's the second part I want us to think about. Is that divine plan involved a debt that was paid? The cross and the death of Christ was so crucial theologically, and personally for each and every one of us, a debt was paid. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us and its legal demands. He set aside, nailing it to the cross. And that divine plan was the best thing that could ever happen to you and to me. It was a debt being paid. And so when we think about that cross, we see that divine plan, but we also see that debt that has been paid. But that debt that has been paid was for a reason, an incredible reason, one that should move us in a very deep and personal way. And that's his devotion to people. It's been said by one poem writer that when Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind. So Jesus, when he died, that devotion was in love for you and me. Of course, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the idea is that devotion to people was what the cross was all about. And it's the cross that we would eventually be told that he's telling Peter and the disciples that you need to take up for others. A devotion to people, a love for other people. Now, I do have to take a moment to pause here to make us think just for a moment about what the cross is. Now, if you're like me, I love symbols of the cross. I have in my office behind me beautiful art piece that is a cross. I have some crosses that I've collected from my travels throughout the world, and they're all very meaningful to me. Kate has some wonderful cross earrings and cross necklaces. I wear a cross on my owl, and they're beautiful symbols. But can we just pause just for a moment and remember what the cross originally was a symbol of? It was a symbol of the death pact. If we were to have that symbol today, and I know this is crude, but sometimes it's good to have that intentional memory. That symbol today might look like an electric chair. It might look like a hypodermic needle. If you're from 14th century France, it might look like a guillotine. But it was the idea that that symbol meant death. And that is the love that Jesus had for us, that he would die for me and die for you and die for those that we like the very least in our life, that he was a lover of every soul. So we have to remember that devotion to people in the symbol of the cross. It's a picture of the sacrifice of love that Jesus had for all of us. And that's what was difficult for Peter to understand. He understood that he was God in flesh, but boy, that part of the story, that God would die for you and me, that's hard to take. Sometimes it's still hard to take. I hope that you can allow the forgiveness of God and the profound and deep love that he has for you as an individual, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've thought, that Jesus loves you so much. It's a symbol of his devotion to you. But there's one last thing that the cross symbolizes. He says, take up your cross. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That symbol is a symbol of our discipleship pattern. The idea of denying ourselves a little bit sometimes is important. I think sometimes we think, or at least I live, take up your cross and follow me means take up your comfortable chair, bring your coffee, make sure that air conditioning is set correctly, and follow me as long as we're finished by noon. The idea of denying self doesn't mean that we dislike ourselves or that we have to not enjoy pleasures of life or be a monk somewhere. It just means that sometimes we need to put ourselves in perspective of others. That this beautiful pattern of love and deep sacrifice for others might be something that we're called to do in our own lives. Now, if you're like me, I'm very thankful that I don't live in the time of the apostles. Each of these hearers of what Jesus would say would actually have to give their lives, most of the 12. They would give their lives in sacrifice for Jesus. Fortunately, we will likely not be asked to give our lives. But I do think that following Jesus does involve God asking us to give of our lives. And what might that look like in your life? How do we give from our lives? Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's some effort. Maybe it's some discomfort as we give or take care of the needs of somebody. Maybe it's making a phone call to someone that needs our care or our concern, a visit to somebody. Maybe it's granting forgiveness or looking at somebody in a new and loving and kind way. Sometimes taking up our cross does cost us something. But if we're really honest, most of the time, taking up our cross costs very little. The great theologian Dolly Parton said, being kind to others doesn't cost a thing. And the idea of taking up our cross may bring in our whole life, but if we're honest, usually it's just pieces of it that I think all of us could give to those that need it. He goes on to talk about what is it gain someone to gain the whole world and lose their soul. It reminds me of the words of Jim Elliot, the famous missionary to the Hakka Indians who was killed, and later his wife went back to people that had trusted in Jesus after they had killed her very husband, Elizabeth Elliot. But Jim wrote in his diaries, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to to gain what he cannot lose. Even if we were called to give our life, friends, it is a small price to pay for the eternity of our soul. And we could give story after story. One of my favorites as a chaplain in the military is to talk about the four chaplains that were on the USS Dorchester. The chaplains were there evacuating the ship, as everybody was, because it had been hit by a German U-boat. And the chaplains were there gathered together helping people get off the boat, and soon they began to realize that there were not enough life vests. Each of the chaplains gave them a home. And as people loaded onto the life rafts, the chaplains stood arm in arm watching everyone sail to safety as they linked arms and prayed for God's blessing and safety for those that were leaving the ship and for their souls as they transported to heaven. The truth is, we won't be asked to make that kind of sacrifice. Our discipleship pattern will probably not look that extreme. But what will taking up our cross look like in our lives? Jesus's showed a divine plan. It showed a devotion to people. It showed a debt that was paid. What will it show in our lives? That cross that we wear, that cross that we do to ourselves, that cross that we stand beneath, is a symbol of love to the world.
Amen.
What will that look like in your life and my life as we share kindness, as we extend love, as we serve people? That symbol is one that we show